Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 this morning. We're going to start our Easter series today. And as you're turning there, I came across a couple little neat things. It was called the Sign of the Times, different signs that people saw. On the wall at a traffic bureau, it said, "Drive safely and avoid the morning," M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, "after." In a store window, it said, "Everything must go. Our manager has already." On a road sign, it said, "He who has one for the road gets a trooper for a chaser." And a thought, our great-grandfathers called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers, the Sabbath. Our fathers, Sunday. Today, it's just the weekend. Something for us to think about in this nation of ours. So this morning, I want us to talk about the cup. And I want to kind of set the stage of what we're going to be looking at in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. If you were to go to Jerusalem, and if you were to stand in the middle of Jerusalem, you were to look east, your eyes would fall upon the Mount of Olives. And on the western slope of the Mount of Olives is a garden, and handed down for centuries tells us that that garden is more than likely the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus would often come to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, but this particular night was much different from the prior days or the prior nights that he would slide off and pray in the garden. Earlier, he had been with his disciples in that upper room. It would be the Last Supper that they would have, the Passover supper that they ate together. He foretold of his coming crucifixion. He foretold of how he would be betrayed by one of his own. And Judas soon slipped out into the darkness to do Satan's work. Now, Jesus, in need of prayer, he left the city. He went down, crossed over the Kidron Brook. Now, the Kidron Brook is really important when we think of the geography in Jerusalem. When animals were sacrificed in the Temple Mount, their blood would run down into that Kidron Brook, and it would turn it crimson red. So remember that this was the Passover, when Jesus stepped out of the city and he crossed over that Kidron Brook. And when he did, it was stained blood red from those sacrifices. So when Jesus crossed over it, he saw that blood red brook. His thoughts, no doubt, leaped to Mount Moriah. We know it as Golgotha, Calvary's Hill, where the Lamb of God would shed his precious blood for you and I. So Jesus came to the garden. He knelt down and he prayed. He said, "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass away from me." Jesus prayed that 3 times. "Lord, if it be your will, Father, if this is your will, let this cup pass away from me." This was certainly a cup that he had no desire for. We also need to understand that he was not speaking of a physical, literal cup. It was a symbolic cup. He was expressing the idea of experiencing something, taking something into your own body. The cup that Jesus was talking about was the cup of agony. The very cup that he had to drink all alone. When Jesus was performing his miracles, feeding the multitudes, healing the sick, the crowds followed him in droves. They couldn't get enough of him. They loved the miracles. But as soon as Jesus started teaching deeper spiritual things, kingdom messages that required submission, full surrender, what happened to those multitudes? They left in droves. So he went from crowds of thousands down to 12 at that Passover supper. Well, now it's just 11 because Judas slipped out to do Satan's work. And out of those 11, the Bible tells us that Jesus chose 3 to go with him and go out of the city into the Garden of Gethsemane and pray. And in that dark hour, even those 3 fail him as they fall asleep, as Jesus went off to pray. So off he goes, all alone into that garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, at least he still has the Father, right? But then it hits him. The reality is that even his Father would have to turn his back on him and forsake him. So there he is, all alone, to drink this cup of agony. Let's pick up in Gospel of Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 39. Coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Now, I want us to think about this cup this morning. I want us to think about what was in that cup that made Jesus just absolutely cringe in agony. What was in that cup that filled our precious Lord, our Savior, with just such deep despair? I've heard a lot of people and preachers talk about it was the pain and the suffering of Calvary that he cringed from. That's not the case. We know in history, a great book, the Book of Martyrs, if you have a chance to read that, Fox's Book of Martyrs. We know that even his disciples faced death without fear. Peter demanded to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to die the same way his Lord. He felt unworthy. So it wasn't the physical pain that made Jesus cringe. What was it that was breaking the heart of Christ? Was it Judas's, was it his betrayal? Was it the fact that his disciples let him down and fell asleep? No doubt he was a little disappointed. But that falls far short of dread and agony, doesn't it? So what was in that cup? Let's take a deeper look this morning. So the first thing that we see is in this cup. Let's consider the ingredients of this cup. And the first ingredient is the pollution of sin was in that cup. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For do we not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin? You know, we have to understand, in order for us to be redeemed, to be forgiven, to have our sins washed away, forgiveness means that those sins have to be dealt with. Amen? Holy God, righteous God, cannot just allow sins to go undealt with, unpunished, unjudged. So our sins had to be placed upon Jesus Christ himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. The Apostle Paul put it best. He said, "For he made him, the Father made the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Perfect and sinless and innocent Christ had to take all of my sins and all of your sins, and he poured it in that cup, and he had to drink that cup of all of our sins completely down. He had to take it completely into himself. He had to become sin for us. Now I say my sin and your sins, but it doesn't just stop with this church, does it? He had to take upon himself the sins of all mankind. Every sin of every decade, every century, every age was in that cup. Every vile thought, every wicked action, every hateful and sinful and wretched thing was in that cup. Every unthinkable sin was in that cup. Every act of child abuse, every act of rape, every murder, every genocide, every life that Hitler took, that Stalin took, they were all in that cup. And now we turn and we give that cup to Christ. And we say, "Drink it all in. Every last drop." Drink it all in and carry it up Golgotha's hill to your cross. And that's exactly what Christ did for us. As sinners today, we watch, we see so much, don't we? On the news, on the internet, in life. We almost become desensitized to sin, don't we? And that's a sad thing because we don't fully understand how dreadful and how agonizing sin is to a holy God when we become desensitized. But Jesus understands how awful sin is. He saw how it turned angels into demons and men into beasts as they drove those nails to his hands and his feet. We need to understand that sin is just a clenched fist in the face of Almighty God, isn't it? But Jesus knew that when he drank that cup, he would have to be numbered with all the sinners just like you and I. As he became sin for us, Jesus, the one whose name is holy, the opposite of sin himself, would have to become sin for our benefit, for our behalf. The pollution of all the sin of all the ages, of every generation, was in that dreaded cup. That's not it. What else was in that cup? The punishment of sin was also in that cup. Jesus knew that the punishment of every sin, from every single person, from every single age, would be in that cup. It would be upon him as he drank every last drop, and he would have to become sin for us. One man would have to bear it all. Christ. God the Father would have to turn his back, forsake his only begotten Son, and treat Jesus as if he were guilty of every single one of those wretched sins. Romans chapter 8. Verse 32. He, the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a wonderful verse that is. Jesus had to receive every single lightning bolt of God's wrath poured upon him in judgment of all those dirty, nasty, wretched sins. Innocent Christ would have to be forsaken by his own Father. He cried out. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, holy and righteous, could not look upon his Son any longer as his Son became sin for us. So there, nailed to that cross, suspended upon a world that despised and hated him, and below a Father that had to forsake him, Jesus had to bear the punishment for all of our sins. Once again, all alone. The wretched pollution and punishment of sin was in that cup. And there's no wonder he cried, Father, if there is any way, if it be your will, let this cup pass away from me. But there's even more that we need to know about this cup. We've looked at the ingredients, the the pollution of sin, the punishment of sin, those were all in that cup. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's consider the ingestion of the cup. As I said, our precious Lord, he drank every single drop that was in that cup. Did he shrink back in dread? Sure he did. Did he agonize over it? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. I don't think less of him for it. I think more of him for it because of it. Amen? We need to understand why. Clothed in humanity, Jesus was still holy God. He may have left his glory in heaven, but not his deity. He was as much man as he was God, and as much God as he was man. Amen? He was still holy God in the flesh. And in that holiness, in his righteousness, he absolutely shuddered at the very thought of all the filth and wretchedness that he would have to drink in. And as I said, I don't think less of him for it. I think more of him for it. Amen. And he cried out from the depths of his very soul. He said, Father, please, if there be any other way, I'll make the sacrifice. I'll do whatever it takes. But the Father's silence said it all. There was no other way for us. Was there? No other way. No other hope. In his holy humanity, he absolutely shrank back. But in his divine love, he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, he said, I love them too much to leave them hopeless and helpless. I'll do it. I'll drink it all in. So out of pure love, Christ drank every last drop of that cup on the way to Calvary. He paid a price beyond our comprehension. We can't even fathom the measure of love that Christ has for us. The measure of sacrifice that he did in that one act. We need to understand this was not something he had to do. Amen? This is something he chose to do. John chapter 10. Verse 17, Jesus said, Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Adam, the first man in the garden, said, not your will, but my will be done. Jesus, the second Adam in a different garden, said, not my will, Father, but yours be done. Because he drank of that cup of sin, because he became sin for us, we have hope. We can be washed clean. We can have forgiveness and redemption. Amen. Praise God for that this morning. We have to understand that God will not and cannot overlook sin. Amen. He just can't. He will deal with it in one of two ways. It will be forgiven in Christ. Amen. As he endured the wrath of God on Calvary for it. or it will be judged apart from Christ. Forgiven in Christ or judged apart from Christ. Your choice. God could have created us robots, but He didn't. He created us in His image, and He has given us a free will to choose. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Love, true love, requires free will, doesn't it? We have to have the free will to choose to love someone. We know the unconditional love of God for us, and God gave us a free will to either love Him back or choose not to. But it requires free will. And that choice is up to us, what we do with Christ. I want to close with one last thought, going back to Luke chapter 22, but backing up to chapter 17. This is going back to that last supper that they had together, Christ and His disciples. Verse 17 says, "Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves.'" Friends, praise God. For our sakes, there's another cup. The communion cup. Amen. By faith, the moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, He takes all of our sin. Every single sin. Past, present, even the sins that we have yet to commit. He takes every single sin and He put it in His cup and He drank it down. He takes my sins and your sins, and in return, He gives me and He gives you His righteousness. How wonderful is that? I just hope and I pray that you truly understand all that Christ has done for you. Truly understand the sacrifice that it took for Christ to drink in every single vile and wretched sin that's ever been committed. I hope you take it with you, not just today, not just this week, but forever.